This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
It's about 9 minutes after 1 o'clock. It's Power Lunch on Power 98.7. Welcome to the afternoon. We've just gone through our news unfolding hour between 12 and 1, and now we get into what makes us tick. The inner man stories, the psychology stories, the mental health stories, sometimes a little bit of the spicy stories, but definitely all things that build us individually. This is a very big one. There's an increased awareness globally of the impact of ADHD in the workplace, the challenges and the opportunities associated with neurodiversity in adults in the workplace remain comparatively under-examined in South Africa. And as a leading expert says, this is to the detriment of both those affected as employees and as companies. It is reported that professionals with ADHD face unique challenges during hiring processes and assessments, and they may be overlooked for promotions despite their talents and capabilities. There is therefore a real need for greater awareness and acceptance of neurodiversity in the workplace, as well as support for positive potential contribution of individuals with ADHD. So let's speak to Africa MD at Jackhammer Global, Advaita Naidu, who joins us on the line. And you can join us as well on 0861 987 000. Advaita, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thank you for having me. And I just want to say, I don't suffer from ADHD, but I'm very distracted right now. I have followed you for years, since I was a child, really, so I'm very honored to be on your show.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on the show and to talk about such an important issue as well. So tell us your background in terms of what work it is that you do and how you are involved in the ADHD conversation.
Perfect. Thanks. I do want to preface by saying I'm not a clinician, and I don't want it to appear that I'm sharing diagnostic or medical information. Jackhammer is an executive search firm, so we help companies recruit senior leaders for their businesses. Uh-huh. And so we're taking this from a workplace context and from a leadership and management perspective. Uh-huh. We wanted to shine a spotlight on this because more and more we are coming across individuals who are disclosing to us as part of the recruitment process that they do suffer from ADHD. They have been diagnosed with it. And we know that in terms of workplaces, it's an under-examined issue. So researchers that ADHD is often seen as a childhood-only condition, but it's actually something that persists over a lifespan. It's already under-diagnosed, but more people and organizations need to pay attention to how it presents in adults and how it can impact work and how to manage it in the workforce.
Right. Okay. So that is incredibly important because, you know, I think one of the spaces where ADHD can start to feel discriminatory, right, as something that maybe prohibits you from getting on is the workplace. So from the work that you've done, maybe we start with what the feeling is, what the self-perception is of those who raise up their hand and say, look, I have an ADHD diagnosis.
So I think if we take it from the workplace perspective and how it impacts individuals, the big picture about managing it and managing for it is that we should reframe this particular neurodiversity as we do all diversity and apply an inclusion and belonging approach to it. Mm-hmm. And so accepting that ADHD isn't a disability, but it's a different way of processing information. So the more people and the more organizations can reframe that, the better it's going to be from people who are afflicted with it. And then drilling down, leaders need to question whether they are creating an environment that's conducive to disclosure in the first place, and for people to be able to share that diagnosis of fear of stigmatization. Because getting back to your point about self-perception, I think a lot of people view it in a very negative context. They view it as a disability and it's a disorder. We know that it can make workplaces challenging. It can make daily life challenging. But if you reframe it as a different way of working, a different way of processing information, just something that needs to be accommodated for, there will be less stigmatization and there will be less shame associated with it.
Hence, I asked the question because, you know, from the point of view of self-empowerment and maybe an understanding of one's diagnosis, you know, you can almost walk into the workplace with a different confidence or different attitude and request different things. But if you're coming from shame, you're not going to do that. So I wonder what and how can companies in South Africa improve awareness and acceptance of neurodiversity?
So, look, I think individuals, when they have been diagnosed, they're given a lot of self-management tools. And I think employers just need to be able to think about those practical solutions in the workplace. So strategically, it means that making sure people who suffer from ADHD aren't in roles that involve a lot of repetitive or monotonous tasks.
Yeah.
They need to receive frequent feedback. They shouldn't be involved in things that require hyper-attention, and the job itself should be structured. But practically and operationally, there are hundreds of things that people, you know, companies can do. They can have reminders and prompts. They can have visual material versus huge bodies of text for people to get through. Reduce distractions by giving people with ADHD quiet spaces to work in.
Mm-hmm.
Take walking or standing meetings. You know, you allow them opportunities for movement throughout the day, more breaks, have an administrative support in place for like silly things like meeting minutes or notes. I mean, there's so many AI tools that enable that now. There's no reason why these practical solutions shouldn't be available. But again, it needs to be a more high-level conversation first. It's appreciating that people have these struggles, and once we understand that there are these struggles, then we go about putting the practical solutions in place.
Absolutely. So you say it's a processing condition, which means how a person processes information and stimuli is different.
Yeah.
I just don't think we've explained what ADHD is in our conversation. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Can you give us more insight?
Yeah. Look, I think the thing about the diagnosis, I mean, again, I'm not an expert on ADHD itself. I think there are certain behaviors that people present with, and let's appreciate that it's different for everyone. There's a wide range of behaviors that can be exhibited as part of this diagnosis. And you know, often those are associated with non-optimal workplace or learning place behaviors. Mm. Those are things like for timekeeping, lack of organization, distractedness. On the flip side, however, there are also characteristics that can be valued in workplaces, like the ability to hyper-focus on certain things, higher risk tolerance, somebody who is spontaneous or flexible, you know, that they come with a lot more creativity, lots more optimism. So it's really about managing for the negative or the more negative behaviors and how they present the symptoms and harnessing the symptoms that are positive and are going to work to the advantage of the company or the person.
That's very, very interesting. So the same kind of impulsivity or ability to hyper-focus can be seen as a negative trait, but at the same time, if harnessed or funneled correctly, you know, it can really be quite powerful for a specific kind of job. So at that point during the hiring process, or even during career advancement in corporate environments, what specific challenges do professionals with ADHD face?
I think it again, like as part of an assessment process, if they are interviewing for a new job, I think if they're not managing their own diagnosis well, it is going to present as distractedness. It's, you know, they may not arrive on time. They may, you know, talk for longer than is necessary on a specific answer. They may fidget. So, you know, that's going to set them back a little bit. So it is up to the individual to manage appropriately, to practice their answers for an interview, to make sure that they are available on time, having something in their hands to stop them from fidgeting, you know, if it's a fidget object. So those are the ways in which a company or an interviewer might look at them and think, oh, this is not the right person. Mm. So you can be stopped from getting a certain job based on an interview. And then obviously in the workplace, as I mentioned, there are some suboptimal behaviors that are going to limit their opportunities for promotion. So it does need to be a combination of efforts from the individual and from organizations. The awareness and the acceptance are essential for creating a supportive work environment, but the person themselves, people themselves, also need to put in the effort to get the best out of themselves.
So a symptom or a trait of an adult with ADHD may be disorganization. An adult with ADHD may have issues organizing not only thoughts, but, you know, keeping things on track. And that may be very challenging in the workplace. People get into trouble for not having organized desks or, you know, keeping their schedules organized. So is there a role that the employer can play should somebody come and say, look, I am diagnosed with ADHD and this is a very big issue for me. How can I be helped?
Absolutely. And again, I think that there's probably a tipping point. You know, if the person wants to be helped and wants to be supported, company can put in all the frameworks and the safety rails that they can. And that includes, you know, all those operational and those practical solutions that I mentioned earlier. But at the end of the day, if a person either is undiagnosed or doesn't want to be helped or is not asking for the right support, suboptimal behavior can't be forgiven forever.
Right.
So I think we need to reach a point where there is acceptance along with disclosure so we can put the right guardrails in place. Mm. And if the person nevertheless can still not operate within that framework, then it's probably not the right environment for them. You know, this is, I guess it's not about accepting anything because of a diagnosis. It's about managing around a diagnosis to get the best out of someone. And as with all performance issues, if a person is not performing according to what their role requires, then that's a bigger conversation.
Yes, absolutely. But putting some assistance in place may be really helpful to get the best out of the person. I mean, you were speaking earlier about having a standing desk or a walking meeting. I know restlessness and anxiety, you know, somebody who just moves around frequently, taps their hands and feet, absolutely cannot stand or sit still. So that can be a good intervention. Time management is a big one, right? Procrastination of tasks or showing up late for events. I mean, is there something that can be done to meet employer and employee in the middle around time management?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question is what's important? Because if the person is nevertheless still very good at their jobs and it's their behaviors aren't presenting in a disruptive way for the rest of the team, then it's probably not that big a deal. However, if you're regularly turning up late for meetings and impacting everybody else's schedules, then again, the guardrails need to go up. And, you know, there are AIs for that. There are administrative support people who could help with that. It's about scheduling and making sure you stick to the schedule. And again, it's a two-way street.
You know, it's very interesting. You've mentioned AI a couple of times. And one of the distractions that comes up in all of the ADHD literature is social media, the internet. But, you know, as always, there's this flip side that it actually could be very, very helpful as well. So talk to me about, you know, leveraging and harnessing technology from the employer and the employee to make sure that ADHD as a diagnosis doesn't impact negatively on the world of work.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the way I think about it is about reminding tools that serve as reminders, tools that help you organize your work into chunks. Tools that help you organize your thoughts. I mean, there's an amazing, or there's several amazing note-taking tools, which first help with the actual practicalities of paying attention to taking notes. I mean, they will take the notes for you, but that could also help you organize your thoughts according to themes. So, you know, it will, you have a meeting with someone, the AI is taking notes, and then it can chunk it into the salient points. So, again, you know, the processing of information, if that's a limitation for an ADHD sufferer, there are tools in place that could help you streamline your thinking. You know, I'm obviously not familiar with every single tool out there, but these are the ones that just come to mind. Yeah.
All right. We're talking about adult ADHD and the impact it can have in the workplace. If you are somebody who has an ADHD diagnosis, or if you have questions around whether you do and what you can do in the workplace particularly, give us a call and share with us your experience. If you've been able to overcome certain of these issues in the workplace, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 0861 987 000. You can also send us a voice note on 0833037093. Are we finding with the advent of representation matters and, you know, TikTok ambassadors for all of the neurodiversity that you can think of, that the stigma in the workplace is somehow going down?
I think yes and no. There are still some organizations that are very bureaucratic and very templatized in the way they operate. And albeit that they may have bigger representation simply because of the numbers of people that they employ, I think there's still a lot of stigmatization and underreporting in larger organizations. However, in smaller, fewer startup or scale-up type environments, there is less stigma. And again, it may also be because, you know, having something being diagnosed in childhood and then being able to manage with it throughout your schooling career and now breaking out into a new environment, it may be that they've learned coping mechanisms over time, but it was also reported early and managed for early.
Absolutely. And I think these are the big challenges, right? At the moment, it seems like there's such a boom, particularly in women diagnosed, adult women diagnosed with ADHD, because it kind of manifests differently for women and men. In childhood, I mean, I'm a child of the born in the 80s and the 90s, so all the boys were on Ritalin, but none of us girls were ever really looked at for attention deficit disorder of any sort. And so now it might be only manifesting as people are adults and as you know, work with people who are leaders, who are senior leaders. And so, yeah, it's very interesting what's happening at the moment. And I wonder if having more leaders who perhaps themselves are diagnosed with ADHD could really foster a culture that embraces neurodiversity, Advaita.
Absolutely. I mean, just to talk quickly about your point on boys versus girls, I think it's easier, and again, I'm not a clinician, but apparently ADHD is easier to recognize in boys because it presents in very physical and outward symptoms. You know, the impulsivity, the hyperactivity, the inability to sit still and just moving around. And for girls, it's a more internalized type of behavior. They may struggle academically, obviously, but it's, you know, inattentiveness. They may not be able to focus. And I think that because there's just less outward presentation, that I mean, we already know we face a leadership challenge with women at the workplace, but if they're being overlooked because of something that's undiagnosed or unrecognized or unaccounted for, this is how it's going to present itself.
Absolutely. Well, what are your final tips or pieces of advice for somebody who's sitting with a diagnosis in a specific work environment and isn't quite sure, do I disclose this? Do I not? How do I operate in this work environment?
I think as with all workplace challenges, disclosure and discussing it with your line manager or your HR department if you don't feel comfortable with your manager is the most important thing. Presumably, organizations want to get the best out of you and they should be willing to make the accommodation, but it shouldn't just be up to an organization. They absolutely need to create the right environment, but a person, you know, as anybody who wants to be promoted or needs to work from home, you need to go and make a business case for it and build the guardrails together.
Well, this was a very, very interesting conversation. Africa MD at Jack Hammer Global, Advaita Naidu, thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.